All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now as we look in the book of Proverbs here. Very important book of the Bible, Lord, and very important chapters in the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray that we would learn and glean from this exactly what you want us to know. And Lord, help us as we have been going through this book. And Lord, we will continue to, by your grace and whatever you lead, we pray, Lord, that you'd bless it now to our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you know, this was kind of an impromptu type of a series that came out of this, but as I've been studying through Proverbs, I'm reading through, I came to Proverbs in my devotions, and about a week or two ago, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now, but I came to it, and I found that I couldn't get past too many verses before I could see a lot of outlines and a lot of things that would help us, a lot of wisdom that could be given to us and that could be given to our youth and our young people to understand as they grow up, okay? And for you to understand exactly what is there. And I kind of paused a little bit, and I've done a little bit of devotions on it and things like that. I've talked about the strange woman before. I preached, I think it was like 4 or 5 messages on the strange woman. I don't even remember. That was a lot of years ago. I've met a lot of strange women. So I preached another one a few days ago. It was a 15-minute type sermonette excuse me, I hope was helpful. I hope it was helpful, but by the way, that wasn't planned. It was just there. I was in my Bible study, and it was like, here it is. I was like, well, I'm going to preach it then. It's right there. And it's kind of like when it jumps out at you and the situation is so applicable, it's like God is feeding you, so you might as well use it. Amen. So let's talk about in the book of Proverbs chapter 2, we come to, before we get to that, let me just say this. Our children are going to run into people in their lives. You are going to run into people in your lives. You have. And you need to know how to deal with them. I have found 14 to 15, and there may be more different type of people that Proverbs teaches on. Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few of those. We're only going to talk about one tonight. We've talked about one before, I think. I've got to go back and look at the notes. I don't know. Some are devotions. Some are this. I don't know. I got to go back and look at it. But anyway, this I know, though, that we're going to talk about tonight is the evil man of Proverbs. Who is the evil man that we are warned against? But anyway, there's about 15 different type of people that I've seen. Number one, we have this strange woman, okay? So we've talked about the strange woman a lot. A lot of stuff on the strange woman through the Bible, who she is, what she does, and why you don't want to be her, and to stay away from her, and why you don't want to marry a strange woman. Amen? Then we come to the simple man, which is just basically, sometimes it's a young man that doesn't know anything, that needs discernment, that needs to be given subtlety, that needs to be taught something. That's normal. Or he's a simple man because he's not listening. He becomes a fool because he doesn't listen, okay? So there's a few different things there. A few different ways you could preach that. The next one is the evil man, which we're going to talk about tonight. That's one, the evil man, and we're going to kind of define who he is and what he does. And then we have the sluggard, okay? We have the sluggard, which is a type of man or woman, but the sluggard or the slothful, right? They're in the book of Proverbs. That's a type of person. Do you find it interesting that God is showing us all of these different types of people, their traits, their attributes, what they do, how they act, and warns us against them, not to be those people in the book of wisdom, okay? That's in the book of wisdom that is in here. And then we have the flatterer, not to be confused with the flat earther, okay? But the flatterer. The flatterer, it can be a man or a woman, and is definitely both that I've seen. But that's the person that flatters, and we'll talk about that person again probably. Then we have the foolish woman. We're going to talk about her, Lord willing, on Sunday. We're going to talk about the foolish woman and the wise woman. We may first cover the first sermon. We may cover the foolish woman. The second one may cover the wise woman. I'll see how that goes, or we'll throw them both together. I don't know yet. We'll see how much information I have on it, how much God has given me on it. And then we have the foolish woman, we have the wise woman. And then we have the wicked man, the Bible talks about. The wicked, or the wicked man or woman. Could be either one. Then we have the prudent man or woman, right? We have that. Then we have the wise son, okay? See how the book of Proverbs is so full of knowledge and wisdom for us. The wise son, okay, is right there. And then we have the foolish son. The Bible shows us about the foolish son and what a foolish son is, what a wise son is, and what a foolish son is. Then we have the virtuous woman. We find her. What is a virtuous woman? We have a description of her. Then we have the brawling woman. And we have a description for her. And God thought it was so important, he listed the same verse twice about the brawling woman in the White House. Right? Not in the White House. That was last time. But the brawling woman, right? So we have all of these different types, and I think there's a couple more in there, but I saw another one, I think. But anyway, there's probably more. So let's say there's 14, 15 of these. These are different types of people in the world today. They're different types, and they've always been, okay? And when we see these attributes, we don't want to mimic the bad ones. And when we see these traits in us, it doesn't mean we are that person. It means that we might be acting like them. Kind of like how Job said to his wife, how you speak as one of the foolish women speak, right? That's what he said to her. She's not one, but she's talking like one, right? So all of those things are in the book of Proverbs and much more. When we combine all of them, we get an exhaustive list. But we ought to take heed to these warnings. We're not only warned of the strange woman, but tonight we're warned of the evil man. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 12. Well, actually, we're going to read 1 through 12 or 13 here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. So thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Fear of the Lord, knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. See that? Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. There is a way of the evil man. From the man, and he starts to explain who that man is. From the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in frowardness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths to deliver thee from the strange woman. See, so he gets into the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words. So we're not going to talk about her tonight, but we will talk about this tonight. Here, the evil man. We see some things about this evil man, but we also see some warnings. Look, you cannot take one verse of scripture out of this, just pull it out and say, well, the Bible's talking about the evil man. Yeah, but if you miss the first 12 verses, you're missing how to keep away from that. You're missing the whole picture here. You're only going to have part of the picture, right? If you have part of the picture, then you can't have victory. You need the whole picture. You need to have all of it. We're not only warned of that strange woman, but of the evil man. While we've given much attention to the strange woman, and for good reason, equal attention should be paid to the evil man. That there are evil men in this world should be of no surprise to us. And that there is a way of evil men should not surprise us at all either. we are warned that when wisdom enters into our hearts, we will be blessed. Notice that what the scripture says here. When wisdom enters your heart, my son, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 2, if thou seekest her as with silver, as silver. Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, you not only need to, they not only need to receive the words of God and the words of instructions, our children and you as well, you need to receive those words, you need to hear those words, and you need to hide those commandments in your heart. When God gives you instructions, when God shows you something about people, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. We are warned that wisdom enters into our hearts, and we'll be blessed if it does. We are to hide the commandments of the Lord. This is setting you up to not to fall for the evil man. What does it say here? Hide the commandments of the Lord in your heart. Then we will incline our ears unto wisdom. When the commandments of the Lord are precious to us, when they mean something to us, then we will listen for wisdom. We will listen for it, and we will hear it. We will hear it. And apply our hearts to understanding. What does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we will then cry after knowledge, we will not cry because of ignorance. I would rather cry and search after knowledge than cry after I've ignored wisdom and instruction. Because those are bitter tears. And they last a long time. Yes. Regret is a terrible thing to live with. We should seek it as silver and search for wisdom and hid treasures. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. When you seek after God, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you say, well, I don't do that enough. I know, start doing it. But I don't do it like I should, so there must be something wrong. Yeah, you're rebellious. That's what's wrong with you. You're not obeying. I can make it real easy for you. You're not obeying God. But I should want to obey in perfect obedience. Yeah, you should, but you ain't always gonna. And you ain't always gonna want it either. Why? Because you're stubborn and full of yourself. That's why. Stubborn and full of yourself. And that's why you got to get emptied of yourself. Amen? And that's why when you don't empty you of you, God empties you of you. Right? Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. All of this prepares us to defend ourselves against the evil man. The first defense against the evil man is wisdom and knowledge. It's having wisdom and knowledge. It's slowing down, using discretion, having wisdom, having knowledge, and watching. You know why the simple man, and we're going to talk about him in depth, but you know why the simple man fell into the trap he did? Because he ignored his surroundings. He ignored everything, and he just walked into it. Do you understand that? If you ignore your surroundings, I don't care how long you've been saved and what you've been doing. If you ignore your surroundings and you ignore the situations that are around you, and you place yourself, and if you place yourself into situations of temptation where you can fall, well, there's a good chance you're gonna. Right? There's a good chance you're gonna. If you think, well, I'll be all right. I can hang around with the evil man. No. Evil communication corrupts good manners. It doesn't say it the other way around. Your good manners will help him be better. No, it says their evil communication is going to corrupt you. Right? Mm-hmm. So the first defense against the evil man is wisdom and knowledge. Hiding the commands of God in our hearts. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, how does God do this? Let's look at this. There's five ways God does this, I believe, that I can see anyway. Number one, through his ministers who preach his word. He does it through the preaching of God's word. He does it through the warnings of the scripture. When you hear it preached and you are warned about it, listen to it. Follow it. Number two, through studying his words and reading them. God uses his own word for you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that he is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you know the, if you know your company's handbook better than you know God's book, you're wrong. Your heart's not where it should be at all. You ought to have a desire to go to know God's word, and you ought to fulfill that desire by being in the word of God, getting in there and reading it and studying it. You shouldn't care more for an employee handbook than you do God's book. Amen. You ought to make the time for the Lord. So you do that, number two, through studying his word and reading them. Number three, through good books that men have produced on the Bible. That's a good way. You know, there are a lot of preachers out there that would tell you, you don't need any books. You don't need, I've seen these believers on YouTube who use YouTube videos to tell you that you shouldn't read books. But anyway, you know, and I know there's preachers that, I get it. I've got all kinds of friends, and they believe all kinds of different things, and I get it. All I know is the most sound men that I ever met in my life were men that were readers. The most stable men that I've ever met in my life were men that were readers. The most men the men that had something to offer somebody were men that read. Amen. They were men that read. Right? That's right. Paul talked about the books, but especially the parchments, right? But he had the books, right? Mm-hmm. So through good books that men have produced on the Bible to educate you, to prepare you. Number four, when you commune with God and pray and ask for wisdom, that'll protect you from the evil man. When you commune with God and pray and ask for wisdom. Number five, through him leading us into meditation on his word, a focus on God's word will keep us from the traps of the evil man. One of the reasons why I'm doing these devotions is to be a blessing to other people. But another reason is, you know, that you need a thought every day that you can take with you. And I try to put them on at 6:30 in the morning and early in the morning so people can maybe take some time sometime during the day and listen to those and grab that thought. If you're at home and you start your homeschool day, there's nothing wrong with you starting it with that. Starting with that devotion and playing that devotion for them. It's only 5 minutes long. Actually, they're less than that. A lot of them are 4 minutes. I call them 5-minute devotions because they're all under 5 minutes. Okay? And there's nothing, and they're profitable. And I think you ought to listen to them every day. And I think it's a shame that if you don't listen to them every day in this church, and there's hundreds of people that do out there. I think you ought to be listening to them every day. I think it's 5 minutes of your day, and I think that's nothing. I think it's meant for you first. It's meant to feed you first. That's why it's there, and there's no reason for you not to. You say, I don't like that. Well, I don't care if you like it. I didn't say it because I wanted you to like it. I said it because I want you to follow it. I'm telling you what, I'm out there putting out the corn for you. I expect you to eat it. Amen. I do. I expect you to eat it. If I'm going to feed you, I expect you to eat it. I expect you to eat it first. Right? So I want you to. I want you to learn. It's irregardless of me what anybody else thinks online about it in the first place anyway. I don't care what any of those people think about it, to be honest with you. I love people. I want to help them. But I don't care what they think about what I do. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm going to keep doing what God called me to do. Come Jezebel. Right? Come Ahab, come any other devil, I'm going to keep serving God by grace. Amen? But I want you to listen to those because they're helpful. They're helpful to set your day in the right way. They are. You need to put the Word of God inside. I'm not saying you don't do your own Bible reading. What I'm saying is it's there. Use it. Use it. It's there. There's no excuse not to. I bet you I could follow you around and find 5 minutes of your day that you're wasting. I bet you I could find 5 hours of your day you're probably wasting, but 5 minutes we'll go there. All right? We'll save 5 minutes at least. Anyway, so I want them to be a blessing to you. I want them to help you. If we meditate on righteous things, that will keep us from the evil man. We ought to be meditating. That's one of the reasons why I give you those, because I want you to have something to meditate on and think about during the day. Something to grab hold of. It'll give us a discerning spirit. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and the seat of all emotions and affections, that's where you want wisdom at, right here, in the foundation. You want wisdom there. You want to know how to deal with every situation, have discernment and understanding, and have yourself exercised, right? Your discernment exercised. That's what we need. That's how we grow. You might ask the question, well, how does discretion preserve thee? That discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution and judgment, directed by circumspection and primarily regarding one's own conduct, how I conduct myself in every situation, right? How I do. I mean, I'll tell you a story. And this is God's grace, God working on me. I went to a place the other day, and for the sales and service business I do on the side. And I went to this place the other day, the vacuums, and I went to this place, and I did this. I actually did this customer a favor. I actually probably saved him about, $100 or something like that, $75, let's say. Well, about $100. I just did it for him for free, just to be nice. So I get in their office, and I ask the person, well, where do you want me to go with this? The guy points over there. I go over there. I said, well, I need to try this out. You know, where do you want me to go? They said, over here. So I went over there. And all of a sudden, so I'm vacuuming it to make sure it's working because, you know, when I left, the person kind of chewed me out and said it didn't work. So I said, okay, well, let me take care of it for you. So I took it home, and I fixed it. And it wasn't actually anything wrong with the vacuum. It's the fact that the brush was probably 5 years old and needed to be replaced in a commercial setting. But anyway, that's besides the point. I did it for free anyway, just to be kind. So I did it, and I brought it back, and I'm vacuuming with it. And this guy, he goes like this to me, and he tells me I vacuumed like this section of it or whatever, making sure it worked because, you know, I got bawled out last time for it not working, so I wanted to make sure it worked this time. So then I cut it off, and he told me to cut off, and then he starts chewing me out. I said, okay. And I said, okay, I'll take off. And I just wrapped it up, put it away, and left and took off. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't complain to the manager. I didn't complain to the owner. I just let it go. Just let it go and just walked away. And God teaches you patience to use wisdom and discretion in situations like that. You know, now, I'm not going to tell you that inside I wasn't upset about that. Right? Because, I mean, like, honestly, I will tell you the difference in now and, you know, before I was saved and I ran my office up there. If that guy would have said that to me, I would have probably said a lot back to him, you know. And men know how to provoke you to anger, and you have to be able to control that. And God gives you grace, and trials teach you patience. And they teach you to, yeah, maybe inside you're about ready to scream, but outside you're able to hold it together, use wisdom, be kind, and use discretion. Because honestly, I mean, the fleshly side of me wanted to rip his face off. I mean, honestly, that's a man. Like, if you yell at a man, like, what's he, like, if you talk to a man like that and talk down to him like that, most men want to, you know, they want to take care of it, right? I mean, that's just normal. I mean, if you're not all pumped full of soy and, you know, and fluoride. If you're pumped full of soy and fluoride and you don't have any manhood left in you and you have no testosterone left, I mean, and you have nothing, then, yeah, then I guess it doesn't matter. But when you're a man and you get yelled at like that, it's tough. It's tough to take. But God teaches you to deal with it properly. God teaches you that, you know, and the thing you have to learn is that there's sometimes in life that we're going to have to be defrauded and we're going to be treated poorly. That's the second time I was treated poorly. However, at that same place, and I haven't never done anything to those people wrong. However, I look at it this way. Those people buy a brand new vacuum off me every year. So the owner does, the lady that owns the company does. So and maybe her husband doesn't like that. I don't know. and maybe the other people don't like that either. But it really doesn't matter to me because I just go in and sell the vacuum, do what I have to do, and leave. So I was just doing it to be kind, and I did, and I left. You know, another thing, you know, so The other day I did another thing happened. I drove all the way up to the Twin Cities, and this has happened more than once to me, and the people canceled their appointments on me. So, you know, is that fun? No, that's not fun at all. But you got to learn how to deal with things without losing it. And God teaches you that through trials. Amen. He teaches you discretion, right? Because what would it accomplish if I'd have got angry? Nothing. Could have hurt business and cost me money, cost my testimony, cost a lot else, right? Exactly. That's right. So, all right. So anyway, it's just some things to think about. I'm not exalting myself. I'm just telling you, as the Lord has taken me through trials, He showed me how to deal with that. Just like you don't have to show up to every fight you're invited to. Right? You don't have to show up to every fight you're invited to. Every online battle and every online fight you're invited to. Right? Every time somebody calls you names. Right? You don't have to show up to that. Why? Why would I rebuke a scorner? Right? No, don't waste your time with that. Just keep serving the Lord. Amen. Anyway, so you learned some of that. By hiding the commandments of the Lord in your heart. We walk circumspectly foreseeing the traps before we get there. Do you understand that? Having some prudence and seeing some traps. You learn to recognize patterns. You learn to recognize things and look for patterns. Not incidents, not single incidents in people making mistakes or whatever, but patterns of things that you can see. You know, so we walk that way. Discretion keeps me from the evil man because I can weigh my own actions. And I live by a set of principles, and when the evil man comes along, I am able to identify him. Careful attention to details will preserve thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. So what does this evil man do? Number one, he speaks forwardness with his lips. Their character, their speech is corrupt. Their habit is corrupt. Their heart is corrupt. Their influence is corrupt. Right? Let's talk about the tree frog a minute. One man gave an illustration of a tree frog. He said, the tree frog acquires the color of whatever it adheres to for a short time. If it be found on the oak, it is brown in color. On the sycamore or cedar, he is of a whitish brown color. But when found on the growing corn, he is sure to be green. Just so it is with young men. Their companions tell us what their characters are. If they associate with the vulgar, the licentious, and the profane, then their hearts are already stained with their guilt and shame, and they will themselves become alike vicious. Our moral and physical laws show how important it is to have proper associations of every kind, especially in youth. How dangerous is it to gaze on a picture or scene that pollutes the imagination or blunts the moral perceptions or has a tendency to deaden the sense of our duty to God and man? See, a lot of things are not sinful. What they do is put you in a state of a lack of sobriety. When they do that, when we are entertained too much, look, we do, I'm telling you, yeah, we become apathetic. Listen, we have a problem. One of those problems is that we have too much time for entertainment, not enough time for hard work, and too much time for entertainment, too much time for wanting to have fun. You say, but there's nothing that sinful in entertainment. Well, maybe not some of it is not sinful in and of itself. The problem is too much of it is. Too much of it becomes a vice. It lowers our guard, and it takes us to a place where we can't be serious when we need to be serious. Right? It's dangerous. So we have to discipline ourselves with our extracurricular things. Right? We have to discipline ourselves. You know, there's some people that like doing certain things, and maybe they're not terrible, you know, but an overemphasis on those things will lead us the wrong way, right? Not good. They're forward, impetus, headstrong, acting on the impulse of whatever feeling is uppermost in the mind. You know, you have to learn that when you have passions in your mind, in your heart, don't act on those. Most of the time, ignore them. Most of the time, you ignore those things. You don't pay attention to those things. You ignore them. you understand that? That's one of the problems is that when you get a thought or a feeling in your mind, you start to worry about it, wonder where it comes from, and then think to yourself, what am I going to do with this? You know, why is this here? And then you start thinking about it. And then that's how trouble comes. What you do is cast it away from you, and you don't worry about it. You don't pay attention to it, and it'll go away eventually. Okay, a lot of passions and lusts and other things like that that come up in our minds, those type of things should not be acted upon. They should be reasoned. They should be cast down if they're evil, and they should be reasoned out of our heads. Because sometimes you can start evil surmising on your own self and making things worse. Much, much worse. So it's important to use discretion, to use wisdom, not to take the first thing that comes to your mind and jump on it. Right? That word means perverse too. In Proverbs 3:32 means unlawful or the transgression. Proverbs 3:32, for the froward is abomination of the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. It's an abomination of the Lord. It's perverse, unlawful, or transgression. That's what this man is. That's what the evil man is. That's how he is. The way of the evil is the way of which Satan trod and by which all his servants follow. The man that speaketh forward things, he is one of the foremost dangers to young men. Young men need to realize not to be around people like that. They'll influence you. Limit your time around any of those. Someday you're going to be in the workforce and you're going to be around people. You limit your fellowship with those people. I'd limit it greatly. This man says, in a workshop or a warehouse or a circle of private friendship, one with a foul tongue is a serious mischief maker. It may be that the froward things are swearings or impurities or infidel insinuations or mere silliness that fills with vanity and tends to weaken the moral fiber. See, that's what too much does. It's okay to laugh sometimes. It's okay to have fun. What I'm saying is if too much of it, it weakens the moral fiber and it makes you susceptible to sin. Do you understand that? Too much of that mindset and not enough seriousness. That's why the Bible says, young men, be sober. Older men, be sober. Young women, be sober. Elder women, be sober. All of you, be sober. That's what he says over and over again, 8 times. Be sober. Why? Because if you are sober, then you won't fall into sin as easy. A sober man rarely falls into sin. Understand that? One that is given over to too much vanity or mere silliness can. It tends to weaken the moral fiber. We have to be careful. We have to watch ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. Look, you're going to grow as a person, as a Christian and as a person. And the older you get, the longer, you young man, you're going to grow, okay? And there's going to be things that change about you over time. And I don't expect you to be like a 40-year-old man, okay? I don't expect you to be that way overnight. I expect you to go through the same things that I went through at your age and probably, more than that. I expect to see those things. So it doesn't surprise me, but I also am here to caution you and to warn you that you don't give yourself over to those things because they can be dangerous traps that lower your guard and put you in a place of sin. Before you know it, your silliness has got you in the middle of something that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. Understand? So you have to be careful, especially around the opposite sex, to be sober, especially. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, when husband and wife are there, we don't, you know, laugh and have a good time. We'd all do that. But I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about in a private conversation that conversation is very straightforward. It has to be. It has to be, especially if you're by yourself. It has to be. You know, I mean, not that you're going to be by yourself that much, but you know what I mean. In the workforce out there, has to be. Has to be. You know, I mean, you have to be kind, and you don't want to be too hard, and, you know, when they're like a stormtrooper or anything. Joshua. Look, lady. No, I'm just kidding. Relax. Good adjustment. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. But you have to maintain that level of professionalism, you know, with everything you do out there, that level of sobriety with them. Because women out, the strange woman and the flatterer and those women will look for an opportunity. If they can see something in your character that is something they can exploit. You know, if they think their flirting will get somewhere with you, then they're going to do it. You understand? They're going to do that. So you need to be careful with that. You need to be guarded with that, very careful with that. All right? That'll help you, all of us. It'll help us. And women, you have to be very straightforward in your conversations with men. You know, as you're out in the world and you're doing things you have to do and about your business, when a conversation may come up or strike up a conversation, it needs to be very direct, very basic, very forward, you know, straightforward in that sense. You know, with shamefacedness, obviously, and sobriety. But with sobriety, it says, you know, be sober with that, because those men are looking too to see if there's a trait in you that they can exploit, you know, that they could use, that they could see. The devil's always looking for a way in. Always. Deny him every way. All right. Let's see here. Even when a person does not sympathize with the evil and imitate it, his conscience gets a wound. It is not good for us in an experimental way thus to know any evil like that. Because out of their own hearts, evil hearts, and the abundance of wickedness there, they speak evil things, this evil man does, tending to debauch the minds and manners of others. See, they say things. If people know you're a Christian in the workforce, they'll say things to defile you. They'll say things to get you to think that way. And they know they're planting seeds to defile you. They know what they're doing. They know they're doing it. They know full well they're doing it. They're doing it on purpose. To defile you, to mock your faith, and to mock your God. Exactly what they're doing. Tending to debauch the minds and manners of others, to be delivered from whom is a singular mercy, with design to corrupt your mind is what they're after, and to entice thee to evil principles or practices. If you don't think you're the lost people that you work with and you're around, those that start to become friends, if you don't think they're out to do that, you better think again. Because those that start talking to you for long periods of time, those that start spending time with you, you better believe that's exactly what they're trying to do. Because they don't care if you fall. They don't care if you fall. They don't care what happens to your spiritual walk. Yeah, they will. We're going to talk about that. They absolutely will. See, Pastor, you're always thinking somebody's trying to do something. Yeah, I know how the devil works. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Of course they're going to try to trip you up. Maybe not even on purpose from their own sense, but because they're being used by Satan to get to you. Right? The evil man, he leaves the paths of uprightness. Either the light of nature or the law of God teaches us uprightness. There is no excuse. When we study the Bible, we know this one thing, whether a person is lost or saved, that the law is written on their hearts, right? It's there. The truth is there. The light of creation was written on their hearts. Those laws of nature that are there are written in them. They know there's a God because of that. I'm telling you, every man alive knows there's a God. I'm telling you, his mind couldn't form it if there wasn't one. And he knows it. He knows it, and he wars against it, and he fights against it. He battles against it. Oh, atheists, yeah, right. What do they have to fight then? Why would they be fighting if there is no God? There's something not to believe in. Think about it. If there's something not to believe in, what are you fighting for? Because your conscience tells you that there's a God, and you know there's a God. I can't wait to continue on in that. Anyway, got to keep moving. Either the light of nature or the law of God teaches us that, and especially the gospel teaches us, in which some of our children have been trained up in, and you have been trained up in, having had a religious education. Don't walk away from it to follow the evil man. They will entice you with many things. The evil man will tempt young people to leave the paths of righteousness and sow wild oats and live the prodigal life. If you leave the paths of righteousness, you can only go into the paths of darkness. That's what the Bible says here, to walk in the ways of darkness, as thieves and drunkards do, and others that abuse even the gospel light they've been given, that put not light under a bushel, but under a dunghill, said John Trapp. I like Trapp. He had a way with words. Can't wait to meet him someday. That when they have walked themselves weary in these byways, highways to hell, they sit down in darkness and in the shadow of death, which their posture shows. They continue there, and they're content there, as well as if they have paid for a seat to be there. These hate the light because their ways are evil. John said that. John chapter 3, verse number 20. Let's look at that. Jesus said that. John chapter 3, verse number 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. It's not a matter of the fact they don't believe there's a God. It's a matter of the fact that they don't want to obey him. That's the truth. Yep. The light stands in the light of their wickedness, in their wicked ways, as the angel did in Balaam's way to his sin. They walk in the ways of darkness. They walk in sin, ignorance, and infidelity, in which they that walk know not where they are, nor whither they are going. They are blind guides, and which must be very uncomfortable as well as dangerous, in which only the works of darkness are done, and which lead men to blackness of darkness, the darkness of hell. A miserable choice, a sad change is this. The ways of horrid darkness. That's where they lead those that were in the way of the truth. The way of the evil man is to rejoice to do evil. They rejoice to do evil. We find this man, when you find a man that has so much fun in his own wickedness, better run from that man. Better stay away from that man. Nothing to admire in that man. The way of the evil man is to rejoice to do evil. At the doing of it, when they have done it, they are glad of an opportunity of doing mischief. And glory when they have done it. It is a sport and a pastime to them. Evil man or evil woman. I've seen them both be that way. Proverbs 10, verse 2. They take pleasure right in sin. Proverbs chapter 10. Treasures of wickedness. Verse number 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. They take pleasure in the act of sin and have no remorse of conscience afterwards. They speak of it in an exulting manner and boast of it and glory in their shame. This we ought not to mimic. God's people should be very careful about the sins of their past, to only speak of them as being delivered from them, never defiling anybody's mind with them, and also never reveling or taking any joy or pleasure in the things that they did that put Christ on the cross. That is one thing you and I must understand. There is nothing glorious about sin. There is nothing glorious about lying, cheating, stealing, fornication, pornography, or any other wicked thing of this world. There is nothing to gloat about in sin. It is dirty, wicked, rotten, dark, and evil, and consumes the soul of man and destroys him. It is nothing to be exalted in. It ought to be hated. It ought to be hated. It ought to be abhorred with the flames of hell, with the hatred of hell. Be careful not to glory in past sins. There is no glory in the shame of sin. Glory in Christ. Deliverance from evil, not in any bit of levity in the sin committed. Remembering past sins of things that were funny should not be funny to us any longer if they were wicked in God's eyes. We should not think of them funny anymore. We should not really laugh at them. We should be ashamed of them. Amen? Have no pleasure in wickedness. None. Let not your heart have a bit of pleasure in it, but hate it. And thank God for deliverance from it. But never, 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 never laugh at it. The evil man who rejoices to do evil, it is their meat and their drink and their sport to do evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 10:23. It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. They think it's fun. It's a game. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. They cannot be merry unless the devil be their playfellow, said John Trapp. This was an aggravation to Israel's sin. When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. God told him in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 15, he said, when thou doest evil, thou rejoicest over it. But better is the sorrow of him that suffereth evil than the jolly of him that doeth evil. He is the man that you, the evil man is the man you should have no companionship with. You may have to work with him, but you should not take company with him. You should not go his way. Why then would any child of God feel comfortable with such a man? Why would you and I feel comfortable with people that are against our God, that are against what we stand for, that are in sin? Right? Why would any child of God feel comfortable with that? It is bad for our souls because evil communication corrupts good manners. We can be seduced from simplicity and we can admire evil in the workplace. We can. We can start to admire it and be around it and shut our eyes to it. You might think, well, that's a nice guy. No, nice guys aren't evil. Right? Listen, you're gonna be around a lot of people. You're gonna be around successful people. You young men, you're gonna be around successful people. You're gonna grow up. Some of you, you're gonna go to the workforce, and you're gonna get starry-eyed with the opportunities and the things that you have. But you need to remember one thing: God saved your soul for a reason. It was to glorify Him, and it wasn't to make you dirty in the world. You serve God, and you live for Him, and you depend on Him for what He gives you. And you don't lay down your standards and lay down in fellowship with a bunch of dogs. Right? You say, well, he's a nice guy. No, he's an utter failure before God. Why do we see people differently than God sees them? We look at them and we are attracted. We look at them and we are attracted to the way that they are, the successfulness and everything else about them, right? Their riches, their wealth, their posterity, everything that they have, all that they do in that, and we want to be like that. Why? Don't you want to be like Christ? The meek and lowly one? The humble one? Because I guarantee you, that rich man, that wealthy man, that successful man, he won't die for your sins. He couldn't anyway. I've been around enough of those people to know that they'll forget your phone number when you're not useful for them anymore. Yep. The evil man is seeking and embracing occasions of sin with diligence and greediness, and pleasing themselves both in the practice and remembrance of sin, whereas upright men abhor and watch against all occasion of sin beforehand and mourn bitterly for it afterwards. The way of the evil man is to delight in the frowardness of the wicked. In the perversities and the contradictions of every wicked man, they not only take pleasure in their own sin, but the sins of others and in them that commit them, which is an aggravation of their wickedness. How about Romans 1:32? That is the evil man who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Have pleasure in them that do them. They delight to hear a man speak forward and perverse things, things against God and Christ and religion and against all good men, everything that is good, against the gospel, the doctrines and ordinances of it. And they delight to see him do things perverse and contrary to the will of God. They love most the worst things. They delight not only in their own sin, but rehearsing the sinful acts of others and hearing them over and over again. The way of the evil man is crooked. The Bible calls it crooked. It's a straying from the rule of God's word, a transgression of his law, and a walk in it is unbecoming the gospel of Christ. It has many serpentine windings and turnings in it, full of distortions and excursions. Turn to Psalm 125, please. As for Psalm 125, verse 5, as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 32 talks about, we're talking about the crooked ways of these men. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. That means there's a difference. You can spot the difference. Or you should be able to. Right? They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Crooked, perverse. Isaiah 59, verse number 2, talks about that. We'll go there in a second. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, talked about that. We just saw that. They have corrupted themselves. Isaiah 59, 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None called for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Where have you heard that at? Romans chapter 1. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. What's it say? This is the exact same thing that you find in the list in Romans almost, right? Now, when you're doing this, if you turn, when you're at, where are we at? Isaiah chapter 50, I got it written down here. Isaiah 59, yep. 59. A good thing to do for your Bible study is right in there, Romans chapter 1, and the verses that deal with that, right? That way, and then right, then when you go over to Romans, when you go over to Romans, right, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, because what you're doing now is you're giving an Old Testament witness and a New Testament witness. Because don't you ever wonder where it says, well, it was written. Well, where was it written? It's in there, right? It's in there. It's written in there. Amen. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. They know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Who's crooked? The serpent. crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You are to shine. I say, I don't want people to notice I'm different. I just want to blend into everybody. Do you? Do you want everybody to think you're just like them? Think about that. Do I want everybody to think I'm just like them? I just added a little bit of Jesus into my life, but I'm just like you. Because you take a good look at the world, you ought to say, no, I'm not just like you, and I don't want to be just like you. I'm not better than you. I'm forgiven. And I don't want to go back to that hell. I don't want to go back to the pig pen. Right? There ought to be a difference. He says that among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You're supposed to shine. You're supposed to. It's the way you were made. It's the way you were born again. Yeah, city on the hill cannot be hid. That's right. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen? Not supposed to hide it. Right? The evil man is forward in his paths, declining here and there, sometimes going one way and sometimes another, but always following that which is evil and resolute to continue therein. Literally, they go back, not only side from right to left, but opposite to it. They go opposite of what is right. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. We're going to talk about envying the wicked, too, but not today. But it says, be not thou envious against evil men. Oh, I wish I had their life and I could do with it. No, I don't think you do. I don't think you do. They have no stability, no peace. They have hell. They have hell. They're going down in the flames. And their life is already with no peace and joy. You want to be like them. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. That's all their lips talk about is evil. Seven times that phrase, evil men, is used in the Bible. 24:19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Proverbs 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Evil men understand not judgment. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil man, that phrase, is eight times in the Bible. Deliver me, Psalm 140, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. The evil man, which imagines mischief in their hearts, continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. They purpose to overthrow the righteous, to bring them down to sin. They are proud men. Proud, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. They are proud men. The evil man seeketh only rebellion. Proverbs 17:11. You ever met people that like all they can do is rebel? They just can't say, you know, I've met people that are religious, men or women. I don't care what they're evil. And I'm telling you what, you put something on Facebook, you put something in a sermon, you talk about something. If you talk about women, how they're not to be feminists, they're not to be Jezebels, right? With that, they'll say, well, what about men? Why do you say that? Because you got a little rebellious heart. That's why you said that. That's why you said that. And they can't help it. Man, they can't help it. I think it's funny in some ways. It's sad in some ways, but it's a little funny in others. Because when I watch it, you put something on there about Jezebels, and then all the Jezebels come out to attack it. It's like that the first dog that gets hit yelps. Right? And they all yelped, and nobody called their name. Or maybe we didn't. And that's why they yelped. Right? Yep, that's the way it is. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. That's all they're out after is rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Those people, those evil people, when they're like that, evil men, when they're consumed or evil women, the message of the Bible, when it is preached, is always cruel. That is all they can hear. Proverbs 17:11. That's all they can hear. The message. I mean, you can preach on the graciousness of Jesus Christ, and you mention sin one time, and the only thing they could say is, you're condemning me. Why? Because it's a cruel messenger to them. Because they have rebellion in their heart, and they're only evil continually. Yeah. The message of the Bible, it's always cruel to them. That's all they can hear. The message of is the law of God. It beats them down continually, and they cannot hear grace because they are evil men. God does not give grace to the proud. God gives the law to the proud and grace to the humble. Proverbs 29:6. In the transgression of an evil man, there's a snare. There's a snare in his sin. But the righteous does sing and rejoice. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45. We'll end it with this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. They can't help it. They have to spew venom and spit like serpents because they're evil. And that's what's in their hearts. So the Bible identifies and shows us who the evil man is, his attributes, his traits, what he does, how he is, and the fact that you and I, by God's grace, can identify him and stay away from him. Stay away from the evil man. Identify him. Know who he is. See his attributes. Now you see the attributes of it. That's not the way we want to be. You know, we ought to be humble. When we hear something, we ought not get mad at it. If it's truth, we ought to accept it and not get mad and look for a reason to get mad about it and try to justify ourselves. If you're doing that in your mind, then you're not receiving the truth that God wants you to receive. You're fighting it. You're looking for a reason why you don't have to obey God. Well, listen, that's why the Bible says looking unto Jesus. It doesn't say looking unto your preacher. It says looking unto Jesus. Because if you want to look at your pastor, if you want to look at anybody else, you can find enough fault with me that you can justify in your own mind why you don't have to obey God. But when you look to Jesus and you hear the truth of the Word of God, you cannot find any fault in him, and you must obey him and follow him. Amen. Because there is no fault in him. And you will see your own fault that is in you and get right. And that ought to be our desire. That ought to be where our hearts are at. Amen? All right. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truths of the Scriptures, Lord, as we look through these Proverbs. So much wisdom here, Lord. It would take a lifetime, two lifetimes, Lord, and 1,000 tongues to tell all of it, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to glean from it what we need and teach us, Lord. Help us. We need you, Lord. We need strength. Lord, I pray for these, your children, Lord. I pray that they would have wisdom and discretion and understanding. And Lord, that they would hide the commandments of the Lord in their hearts. And as they go about their work day and they go about serving the Lord and they go about working a job and doing all the things they must do, Lord, that their hearts never forget you. They never forget the Word of God. They never forget that they are to be lights in this world, and there are evil men that are lurking about, and Satan is ever present with them to try to seduce them to evil and help them to stay the straight and narrow and walk by faith. And help our young people that are growing up, Lord. Help them to see and be warned by all these characters in the Proverbs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.